If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd love for you to turn with me to John chapter 14. In a couple weeks, we'll be celebrating the resurrection. And as we celebrate Easter, I hope that we'll be together as a church family. But that's probably going to be unlikely. But I want us to be spiritually ready and focused for this great celebration in a Christian's life. And so next week, we're going to be looking at the crucifixion, and in a couple weeks, we'll be looking at the resurrection. But today, I want us to look at some words that Jesus shared with his disciples as he was getting ready to depart them. So if you'll turn with me to John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, we read, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And I will go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for your truth, and I pray today for those of us who know you that you will give us strength and courage to overcome troubled hearts. And Lord, I pray today for those who do not know you that they would come today to place their faith in Jesus Christ, the only way to you, Father. We ask that you would do this work for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I had a great childhood, and I had a great dad, and we did a lot of great things together. But I still remember the one time that he made a promise to me to be able to go to a football game. And I was looking forward to it so much, and I can remember when he told me that we weren't going to be able to go. And now as a father, I understand how things come up. But at that time, I was a kid. I didn't understand. And I was really upset, and my dad said something to me I'll never forget. He said, I'm going to make you this promise, Andy, that I'll never make another promise to you. I can remember sort of having that in the back of my mind when I thought about getting engaged to Christine. It began to make me wonder, will this promise last forever? Can I really trust her? Can she really trust me? I'm happy to say that we've been married now almost for 25 years. We'll celebrate that this year. But you know, there's nothing greater in life when we have a promise and it's kept, and that we have someone that we can trust in. But there's also nothing more disappointing than to have a promise broken and to have trust in someone and they let you down. And today, Jesus comes and he makes us a promise. And he wants us to understand that we can have full assurance in him and the promise that he has made. And this promise will help us to overcome a troubled heart. And so this morning, I'd like for us to look at what relieves a troubled heart. You see, the disciples were about to face a traumatic storm in their life. They were about to leave after Jesus spoke to them, and they would see Jesus betrayed and then given a quick trial and then crucified. And then they would live in fear over the next few hours and days as they imagined that not only would they come and kill Jesus, but his followers. And so they hid out and were worried that they would be found out and killed also. And Jesus knew that they would have this anxiety and this stress. And it was his hope to prepare them with this promise to dwell upon. And so the first thing I want you to notice to help us to overcome a troubled heart is to know that there is a real promise, and that is heaven. Notice in verse 2 that Jesus says that there is a house that his Father has, and in it, it has many mansions. That word there for mansions is not just talking about a big, gigantic house to live in, which we often think, but it literally means a permanent dwelling place. And so what God is saying is that we will have a dwelling place in his house. And notice that Jesus says that this dwelling place is specifically being prepared for us, and that it's going to be not a cookie cutter thing, but it's going to be made for us. And I imagine for my room that there'll be Brooklyn Tabernacle coming through the sound system and some great orchestrations of hymns. And maybe in yours it's going to be piano and organ music, and in someone else's room it'll be Third Day. But this room is going to have the things in it that are going to help us to be able to focus and to worship on our great God. And we're going to have a security in knowing that we are in the Father's house. And it's this great promise of heaven that Jesus comes and wants to assure us that we can dwell upon, and it will help relieve the anxiety that we feel in troubled times. You know, there's some images that we see in the Bible of heaven, and while we don't have time to be able to look at all the passages that deal with heaven today, I do want us to take a few moments and reflect upon some of the things that Scripture reveals about heaven. You know, one of those images is that heaven is the spiritual tabernacle, and that it is the place where God really resides. And it is a reminder that God is there in heaven, and that's what makes heaven heaven, is that it is the home of God. It's also called the heavenly city. When we think of a city, we think of something that is permanent, something that is there for us to be able to feel safe, in a place to be able to serve, in a place where God's glory will dwell. We also see the picture of heaven being our true homeland, the place where our citizenship is true, the true place where we reside. It's the place that is our home and gives us a sense of peace and that sense of feeling that we are where we're supposed to be. We also see referred to as a wedding feast. And I think it's a great picture of just a celebration for a life of a special relationship that we have with the bridegroom, Jesus. And we get to celebrate him and worship him and grow deeper in love with him. It's a place that's also referred to as the kingdom, a place where his power and his rule and his majesty reside. It's also referred to as the garden, where the tree of life will be, and the river and the crystal sea. And we see that it's a place where there will be no more sin and no more evil, and all our provisions will be taken care of. It'll be a place with no more pain. It's also a place referred to as a family reunion, where our brothers and sisters in Christ will also dwell with us, where we will have true family and true relationships. Not a place where there will be jealousy or strife or contention or anger. No politics or backbiting, but just true, genuine friendships where we can know one another and love one another. It'll be a place where we will be able to worship, a place where we can rest, a place where we will serve. It'll be a place where we won't ever worry about time, because we'll have all eternity. 1,000 years, 10,000 years, 1,000,000 years later, we'll still be with God in heaven with one another. And we'll have these glorified bodies that will never get sick. And in this time where we have this virus and many people are in fear of getting it, isn't it awesome to know that we will have a body that can never get sick, never experience pain, and can never die? Heaven is truly a remarkable and wonderful place. And it's this promise that Jesus makes to you and me who are in Christ. And he says, listen, dwell upon this and let it reassure your heart in troubled times. As a believer, we need to remember Jesus' words where he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And we need to focus and make sure that we're living our life for the things that are truly eternal and not temporary. We need to invest in heaven, and so we need to invest in His Word. We need to be reading His Word and studying His Word and memorizing His Word. Most important, living His Word. But the other thing that is eternal is not only His Word, but people. We know that people will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell, but that they will exist forever. And so God wants us to make sure that we're sharing the one way to eternal life, and that is through Jesus, so that they also can have the gift of eternal life. And so we see that there's a real promise, heaven, but I also want you to see that there is a real promise keeper, and that is Jesus. You see, a promise is only as good as the person who's making the promise. And so we can have full assurance in this promise because it is Jesus who makes it. Here Jesus comes and says, not only am I making this place for you, but I want you to know that I am going to be here. And he says in verse 3, and I will go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So not only says I'm preparing this place, but I'm going to come back and I am going to get you. And he makes the promise that he will do this for us. And so we have full assurance that there is a heaven and that he will make sure that we get there. Now you think that would relieve the disciples' hearts, but there's Thomas. And he goes, Jesus, we don't know where you're going and we don't know how to get there. And then Jesus, the ultimate promise maker, comes and he says three things about himself that gives us the confidence that we can trust him in this promise. And he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. You know, Jesus is the way. He is the way to eternal life. And, you know, if we're going to put our trust in anyone for eternal life and to be able to get to heaven, we ought to be putting our trust in someone who has conquered death. And so many people are putting their trust in Buddha, or they put their trust in Muhammad, or they put their trust in Joseph Smith, or they put their trust in someone who dies and their body is still in the grave. You know, the Christian puts their hope in Jesus. And Jesus died, but 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And so he not only can say, I know the way to heaven, but he's proven that he knows the way to heaven. And so he is the way. And we can have confidence in that. Not only is he the way, but he's also the truth. Many times we think that truth is talking about a set of facts. But truth is more than that. Truth is a person. You know, when you think about the man with leprosy, he thought that was a permanent condition until Jesus showed up. And when Jesus showed up, his situation changed. The disciples thought that they had to send the crowd away because they didn't have enough food. But when truth showed up, Jesus, they were able to feed 5,000 people. When Mary and Martha looked at Lazarus, they came to Jesus and they said he was dead. But when truth showed up, he called forth Lazarus and he was alive. And this is the reality, that truth is not just facts, but it is in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is truth, and we need to find our satisfaction and our hope and our anchor in what Jesus says and what the Word of God says, the Bible. There was an old saying that many used to live by, the Bible says it, I believe it, therefore it's right. You know, the truth is, whether you believe it or not, doesn't really matter. The truth is, if the Bible says it, it is right. And that is why we should believe it, because Jesus has the way, the truth, to eternal life. There was a pastor named H.A. Ironside, and many times he was challenged as he would preach that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life. And many would come up to him and say, aren't there many religions and many ways to heaven? This is how he answered. He said, there's actually only two religions. One covers all who expect salvation by doing. The other all who have been saved by something done. The whole question is very simple. Can you save yourself, or must you be saved by another? And you know, when you look at all the other world religions, they all have this common characteristic. They all believe that they have to contribute and do something to receive eternal life. They have to say these prayers. They have to think these things. They have to do these things in order to earn God's favor. But you know, Christianity says this: there's nothing that we can do. We have to admit that we've disobeyed God, that we are in our sin, and that it's only by His grace and mercy that we can have eternal life, and that there was a payment for sin, and that was that Jesus died on the cross, and that 3 days later He rose again from the dead, and that if we will put our trust in Him, then we can receive the gift and the assurance that we have eternal life. You know, Lifeway did a study recently that says that 6 in 10 Americans believe that eventually everyone will go to heaven. And surprisingly, while 7 out of 10 say that there's only one true God, 2/3 of those people say that there's many ways to worship that lead to that God. Jesus makes it clear of this truth, that He is the only way to the Father. And that leads us to the last thing. Not only is Jesus the way and the truth, but He's also the ultimate promise keeper, because He is the life. And without Jesus, there is no life. Without this relationship with Him, we're lost, we're in despair, we're in grief, we're in hopelessness. There's anger, bitterness, loneliness, and eventually eternal death, to be apart from God forever. But with Jesus in this life, there's peace, there's joy, there's hope, there's fulfillment, and there is the assurance that we will be with God forever and to never be apart from Him, because Jesus has conquered sin and conquered death. Now listen, heaven is a grand place, but I want you to listen to me carefully. Heaven is not heaven without Jesus being there. Eternal life is to know God and to know Jesus Christ. What makes heaven heaven is the relationship with God. You know, I've truly been blessed to go on some wonderful trips and vacations. I've been able to go to Hawaii and Alaska. I've been to the Grand Canyon, seen Tahoe and Yosemite and the Smoky Mountains. And all of them have been beautiful and grand. But I can tell you, they really wouldn't mean that much to me unless I would have been able to enjoy those trips with Christine. Well, what made it special was being able to enjoy them with her. And heaven is not going to be heaven unless you have a relationship with God, because what we're going to be doing in heaven is worshiping and praising and loving the Lord. And so heaven is beautiful, but it's the relationship with God and the relationship with His promise keeper that truly makes it special. In one of Superman movies, there was a man who was in a burning building on a top floor of a skyscraper, and Superman comes and rescues him, and as he's flying him to safety, the man looks down and sees how far he would drop if Superman were to let him go, and he says, "I'm scared. It's a long way down." And Superman replies, "If I saved you from the burning building, what makes you think I'm going to drop you, carrying you to safety?" And when we think about this promise keeper, we need to remember that Jesus has saved us from the fire and the depths of hell. And He says, "Listen, if I have rescued from this punishment and hell, don't you know that I am going to get you to home safely?" And we need to rest in the arms of Jesus, and our hearts do not need to be troubled, because the promise is true, and we know it's true because there is a real promise keeper, the one who gives us the way, who is the truth, and who is the life. Well, I want to talk real quick about the second thing, and that is, how do we claim this promise? And I want you to see that is through faith. Now, in verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." You see, those who have eternal life are those who have actually placed their trust in Jesus. It's more than just having facts in our head about Christ, but it's coming to the place where we have put our trust and our hope and our faith, and we've understand that we have come to place our full trust to salvation in what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, that he paid the penalty for our sin, and 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And Jesus says this, "No one can come to the Father except through me." You know, it'd be very difficult for you to be able to say, "I love you, Pastor Andy, so much, but I hate your kids. You know, your kids mean nothing to me. You're just an awesome dad, but your kids stink." You know, imagine going to God and saying, "God, you're such a wonderful father, but I deny that you even had a son, and that I love him, and that I'm willing to follow him." You see, in order to be able to have a relationship with the Father, you have to have a relationship with his Son. And when we see Jesus, we see God. And so to love the Father is also to love his Son. And the way we come to the Father is through Jesus Christ. When I was a kid, I used to play football a lot outside, and I would get dirty and muddy, and I would try to come into the house. And many times my mom, if you ever met her, she was a big neat freak, and she would always stop me from coming in when I was filthy, and she would say, "Listen, you're going to have to take your clothes off outside and strip in your underwear before you come in." And I would always be nervous that the neighborhood kids, especially the girls, were watching, but she would say, "You're not going to bring dirt into my clean house." And you know, the same is true about God. God is a holy God, and he can't have spiritual uncleanliness. He cannot have filth. He cannot have sin in his presence. But this is the challenge, that you and I can't clean ourselves. We can't take off our filth. There's only one way our filth can be removed, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. There had to be a penalty for sin, and that's why Jesus came and he died on the cross for your sin and my sin. Have you ever thought about the fact how cruel God would have been to love his Son and allow him to go through the pain and the beating and the crucifixion, and it was really just not needed? That, you know, you could have just rubbed a statue, or you could have just prayed and followed this five ways, or you could have come and done these steps and you could have gotten into heaven, or you could just be a good person. If you, as long as you did some good things, it really doesn't matter, you get in anyway. What kind of God, what kind of father would allow their son to suffer that unless it was the only way to be able to take away our sin problem? And God is a just God, and he says, "Listen, the penalty for sin is death." And that's what Jesus did. Jesus, being without sin, died for you and he died for me. And 3 days later, he rose again from the dead to show that he had victory in life. And he says, "Listen, this is the promise I make to you. You can have eternal life. You can have joy and hope in this life and the assurance that you will be with me and the Father forever. I am the promise keeper. And all you have to simply do is believe, trust in me. And if you will admit that you are a sinner and you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and he rose again to give you life, and you're willing to follow him in his ways, then you can have the assurance that you will have eternal life, that you will have a relationship with God, and that you will be with Him forever. There was a man named E. Stanley Jones who was a missionary, and he was witnessing to the people in the African jungle. And he got lost and he couldn't find any trail marks or any landmarks. And so one day he stumbled across a small hut trying to find his way back. And the native said, "Listen, I will help you get back. Follow me." And so this man began to go through the brush and would cut through the jungle and the trees and the dense vines and grasses. And the missionary began to become worried because he never saw a trail. And he said, "Are you sure this is the way? I don't see any path." And the African looked at him and laughed and said, "Bawana, in this place there is no path. I am the path." And let me tell you, there is no path to be able to go from death into life unless you go through the only one who has conquered death and the grave, and that is Jesus Christ. And so, Christian, today I want you to let not your heart be troubled. As you believe in God, believe also in Jesus, and rest in knowing that He is preparing a place for you. And He's going to come back for you. Be at peace. And if you're here today and listening and you have never come to the place where you have eternal life, a relationship with God, I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you dearly. He died on the cross for your sin and my sin. He paid that penalty in full. There's nothing you can do to earn it. But if you will believe that He died because He loved you and paid your penalty in full, and 3 days later He rose again and He gives you the gift of life, not only to experience joy and peace and hope in this time, but to be with Him forever, I want you to know if you will receive Him today as your Lord and Savior, you too can have the assurance of eternal life, that you will be in heaven, and at this time, listen to His words of not being troubled. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just want to thank You so much for the time that we've had this morning to look at this beautiful passage. Lord, right before You went to the cross, You were thinking of others and their troubled time. And Lord, You went to the cross so that we could have true victory over the things that trouble us most, our sin and our death. And Lord, You have conquered them through paying our sin in full and 3 days rising again to give us victory. And so, Lord, today may we dwell upon heaven. May we think about what it's going to be like to be in Your presence, to be with those who love You, to be assured that there is no more sickness, no more pain, no more sin, no more evil. Safety and security and provision forever and ever and ever. Lord, we thank You for this gift, and I pray if there's anyone out there today who has never received You, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior, I pray at this time they would just simply say, "Father, I have sinned against You. I've done things my own way. And Lord, today I understand, Jesus, that You died in my place. And You rose again from the dead. And You are the only way back to the Father. You are the only way to eternal life. And so, Lord, I ask that You would save me. And Jesus, I call upon Your name and believe the promise that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, Lord, I receive this gift. And Lord, I begin this relationship with You that will last forever and ever and ever for Your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen."